taking out your valuable time to come here and assemble at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir for the Sunday feast program. It's not an easy task to leave one's home and travel all the way in such a heat to arrive here and partake of the hear the glories of the Supreme Lord. So I was asked to speak something about the ongoing darshans that we are having in our temple. So starting from Akshaya Tritiya, which was on 29th of April, last Saturday, for 21 days we have a festival in our temple which is known as the Chandan Yatra festival. Sometimes when we speak this word Chandan Yatra, people think ki 21 din ke liye sabko kahin pe yatra pe leke jane wale hai kya. So this is not that, you know, traveling yatra, but this is the Chandan Yatra festival where the Lord is smeared with sandalwood pulp. All of you must have seen that there is a facility available where devotees can grind sandalwood into pulp and that is smeared on the body of Gopalji. So today we are having the darshan of Phalam Priya Gopal. So this is a pastime that is mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And very beautiful pastime actually. Prabhupada describes in the Krishna book very eloquently that how one time in Vrindavan there is a fruit vendor who comes to sell her fruits and she arrives at Nanda Bhavan and here is small little Gopal, small little Krishna. He sees the calling of the fruit vendor. Like even in our, you know, small cities, sometimes there are these people, you know, these vendors, they shout from their home and little children, they get enamored. You know, mama, I want to buy this, or, you know, mere ko khana hai, kharido, kharido, aisa. So something of that sort, Krishna comes out of Nanda Bhavan and he sees that here is a fruit vendor and her basket is filled with a variety of fruits. So Krishna goes very innocently, he's a small little toddler kind of. And he goes and he asks this vendor for some fruits. So the fruit vendor says, but you will have to pay something. Now Krishna, he is, of course, he is Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the Lord and Master of the entire creation. But Krishna, he is feeling like, but I don't have anything. How can I give you something? But the fruit vendor is insisting, no. You'll have to get me something. So Krishna runs into his home and he asks Mother Yashoda to give him something by which he can take those fruits. Of course, in that time, this is Dwapar Yuga, this is not Kali Yuga. There were no credit cards and there was no Paytm and online transfer. In fact, there was no cash or there was no money. That was also a cashless transaction. So here is Krishna. He just gets some grains. Now imagine a small little boy. How much grain can a small little boy hold in his fist? A very small, tiny amount of grain. And even that Krishna is carrying from inside, by the time he comes out and he sees, he comes till the fruit vendor, most of the grains have fallen on the way. Hardly a few grains are left in his hand. But then, seeing the beauty of small Gopal, this fruit vendor is very much captivated. And so much so, she is willing to give her entire basket of fruits to Krishna. Just because she becomes so happy seeing this beautiful child's intense eagerness to, get these fruits. So just to please Krishna, this lady, this fruit vendor, she gives all the basket of fruits that you take. And Krishna is again a small little boy. He has just given a few grains and he holds all those fruits like this and he has a whole pile of fruits in front of him. Is unable to see his way back to Nanda Bhavan. But nonetheless, he is walking back with all those fruits, the entire basket of fruits, back home. And this small fruit vendor, she is just looking. And she is satisfied that she has pleased this small little child, Gopal. Little did she know that she was, that this small little child is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a small gesture to please that Supreme Personality of Godhead can be very much rewarding. And then this fruit vendor, she looks back expecting her basket to be empty, correct? Because that is how, no, she had just given the whole lot of fruits to Krishna. But lo and behold, she sees that her whole basket of fruits is filled with valuable jewels and valuable ornaments. And she's like completely surprised that how come this has happened. But that is what Acharyas explain, that when Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. There are so many people who may offer big, big things, but actually Krishna is not hungry for the big offerings of his, of the people. All that he is hungry is the love of his devotees. Those of you who know the understanding of Krishna consciousness, we understand that how the conditioned soul, when he moves out from the spiritual world and he comes into this material world, he is wanting to enjoy for himself, right? But then Krishna is knowing that this person can't be happy out there in the material world. In order for him to be happy, he needs to get back to me and just remain in a position of serving me. And that is how he'll be happy. So any gesture of love shown by such a conditioned soul pleases Krishna like anything. So this beautiful darshan that we are having today is Phalam Priya Gopal. That how Gopal, he is very much not in need of the fruits and flowers of his devotees. Because he says, even a small little fruit, even a small little flower can please him if it is offered with love. In that verse of the Gita, he repeats this word bhaktya twice. Tad aham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. That I am looking for the devotion of my devotee. So of course we have a lot of fruits. We don't have just one fruit here. And maybe you'll have to wait till the darshan closes at night, wherein the DT department sevaks will be distributing those fruits. So just an advertisement. If you want those maha fruits, maybe you'll have to wait for some time. And today also happens to be a way which will be the major portion of our discussion today afternoon. Today is the very auspicious appearance day of Rukmini Devi. Rukmini Devi, as you know, is the consort, one of the principal queens of Lord Sri Krishna. And today is her appearance day. And we'll just try to glorify her and for her blessings that we can also develop an iota of her devotion that she has for Lord Sri Krishna and the kind of dedication that she has, you know, demonstrated in the pastimes that Krishna was enacting here 5,000 years back. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is one of our acharyas, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he gives a very beautiful analogy. He says that the glories of the Lord are unlimited like the sky. Jo Bhagwan ki khyati hai, jo Bhagwan ke jo gun hai, wo asman ke jaise asimit hai. It's unlimited like the sky. And any person who wants to glorify the Supreme Lord can only do so as per his knowledge and as per his capacity to glorify the Lord. And he compares such a person to a bird. Just like a bird wants to fly, right? But even though the bird wants to fly, but it can't cover the entire sky, correct? There are some birds like peacock. Peacock is there. So peacock also flies. How many of you have seen peacocks fly? Please raise your hands. Right? How high can peacocks fly? 5 feet. 10 feet, maybe they can fly up till a, climb up till a wall or something like that. But they can't fly very high. But then, you know, Bombay is filled with maybe parrots or, you know, more than parrots, there are crows and sparrows in, this pigeons in Bombay. Yes, you know, those birds can fly a little more higher, right? But then there are other birds who can really fly very high. Like the hawk is there, like the eagle is there. It is said that when a storm approaches, even when the storm is approaching, the eagle just sets flying. And it takes shelter of the strong winds of the storm to raise itself above the storm. So while the storm is raging behind, beneath, the eagle is flying and soaring high up in the air. So similarly, there are exalted devotees of the Lord. There are great acharyas in the bona fide paramparas. And those acharyas, when they glorify the Lord, they can actually glorify to a very great extent. Right? Just like the eagles and the hawks who can fly till a very, you know, high altitudes. But then, depending on our capacity, depending on our knowledge, which is limited in nature, we can fly till a certain extent. So yes, it is mentioned that the glories of the Supreme Lord and His associates are unlimited. So similarly, the glories of Rukmini Devi, glories of Srimati Radharani, glories of God Nitaya, they are unlimited in nature, like the sky. And we are just small little infinitesimal living entities. How much can we glorify them? It is mentioned that even Ananta Shesha, even when Ananta Shesha wants to glorify the Lord, it glorifies with his unlimited mouths, and it has been glorifying since time immemorial. Still, the Ananta Shesha has not finished the glorification. So we don't have so much time also, what to talk of unlimited. No, shortly prasad time will be there, and everyone will be, you know, wanting when the lecture will end. So we'll just try to explain to a certain degree whatever we can. So the background is described again in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. There are around 4 or 5 chapters where the discussion or where the narration of the pastimes of Rukmini Devi is mentioned. And the background is such that Kamsa has summoned Krishna and Balaram to come from Vrindavan to Mathura. Kamsa has sent Akrura, and Akrura brings Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And after going through Mathura and killing Kuvalyapid and killing, delivering Kubja and other people there, finally there is this, you know, confrontation between Krishna and Kamsa. And to cut a long story short, Kamsa is killed by Krishna. Now the game begins after Kamsa is actually killed. Kamsa had his two wives, Asti and Prapti. And these two personalities, Asti and Prapti, they run crying to their father. Who is their father? Jarasandha. So Jarasandha was the king of the Magadha province. And Asti and Prapti, they go to Jarasandha and they submit their plea that, look, how our husband was so, you know, innocent, so meritorious, and this boy Krishna, he has killed him so mercilessly. So Jarasandha, he is also agitated and he is also very much angry, and he wants to take revenge on Krishna. And he feels that, how dare this small little boy Krishna, he kill my, you know, very virtuous and very innocent son-in-law, right? Kamsa, innocent dear Kamsa. Little did you know that Kamsa was every day sending his agents into Vrindavan to kill Krishna and Balaram and all the other inhabitants of Vraja. But the story begins that how Jarasandha, along with his entire army, he attacks Mathura. Now when Krishna and Balaram, they see Jarasandha come with his armies, Krishna and Balaram very effortlessly, they finish off. They defeat the entire army of Jarasandha, but then they leave Jarasandha. Now that is not what Kshatriyas do. Kshatriyas typically, first they kill the king. Because if the king is killed, the army is expected to be defeated. Everyone has to accept a defeat. Now here, Krishna is acting in a little contrary manner. He doesn't kill the king Jarasandha. He kills his entire army. He kills all the people who had come with Jarasandha to fight with Krishna. And he leaves Jarasandha. So Bhagavatam explains that one of the purposes of Krishna's descent in this world, as he says in the Gita, is paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Vinashaya cha dushkritam. Kriti means activities. Karma. Karma se kriti aata hai. So kriti is activities. Duskriti means sinful activities or demoniac activities. Vinashaya cha duskritam. So at that point of time, 5000 years back, this whole earth was so burdened by these unscrupulous kings, these demoniac kings who were ruling in different parts of the globe, the whole planet earth. And the purpose why Krishna leaves Jarasandha is because Jarasandha had a very strong hold. PR bahut achha tha Jarasandha ka pure duniya bhar mein. So Krishna and Balaram, they knew very well that if this fellow Jarasandha is left, he will definitely get back with more and more people. To sab sara game ek hi jagah baithe baithe kaam ho jayega. Hame logo ko marne ke liye 10 jagah jane ki avashyakta nahi padegi, right? So that is why the armies of Jarasandha are killed and Jarasandha is let loose. Once Jarasandha is let loose, he is again fuming, just like a snake, just like a trampled snake. Now, if you don't disturb a snake, still it looks fearful. But if someone tramples on a snake, the anger of the snake, increases. So here is Jarasandha, he again returns back, humiliated to his Magadha province, with a stronger determination to avenge the murder of his son-in-law. And then sure enough, as Krishna and Balaram had expected, Jarasandha gets hold of many more kings and he once again attacks Mathura. Second time also, Krishna and Balaram very effortlessly kill all the kings. But then again, second time also Jarasandha is let loose. He is also left. He is not killed. Now this whole thing happens a good 17 times. 17 times Jarasandha attacks Mathura and all the armies are killed and Jarasandha is, left to go back with increased, hatred for Krishna, and he gets hold of more and more people, more and more armies, and he comes back. But the 18th time is a little different. Krishna and Balaram learn that along with Jarasandha, there is another party who is planning to attack Mathura from the opposite side. And that is a Yavana king. His name is Kala Yavana. So now Krishna and Balaram, they are kind of, little bored with, fighting with the same people again and again. What is this person again? He's let loose. Matlab, ek kuch had hoti hai, right? There is some sense, you're being defeated time and again. You should learn your lesson. But looks like Jarasandha was kind of a very obstinate person. And he was not learning his lesson. So Krishna and Balaram thought, ki thik hai, is bar, let's not pay so much heed to him. Let's deal with this fellow, Kalyavan. Thoda fight mein bhi thoda variety chahiye. Krishna always looks for variety. So Kalyavan, he attacks. And the story goes, we'll not get into the details of how Kalyavan is killed. But then Krishna, he runs away with Kalyavan chasing him from behind. And then they run into the cave where King Muchukunda is taking rest. And Muchukunda, he, by the power of his glands, he kills Kalyavan. You can refer to Krishna book for the details of how, just by the power of glands, that is known as the Muchukunda glands. Sometimes people look at you so intensely as if, that is a replica of the Muchukunda glands. So again, after Kalyavan is killed, Krishna comes back to Mathura. Right? Hey, sab log hai? Hamare saath mein hai na? Kaise kahani aage badh rahi hai? So yes, again Krishna comes back to Mathura. But then, before Jarasandh attacks, Krishna learns. Now you must be wondering ki aaj inhone bola ki today is Rukmini Dwadashi. But then Rukmini Devi was in Dwarka and we are yet in Mathura. When will we go to Dwarka and when will the actual pastime of Rukmini Devi starts? So this is where, you know, the interesting turn in the story happens. As Krishna, he learns that there is something that he needs to attend to. And then what he does is something very surprising. He leaves, when Jarasandh attacks, he leaves Jarasandh and he runs back. He doesn't fight that war. Now mind you, Krishna had defeated the same person, Jarasandh, 17 times. Now here is Jarasandh, it's not that he had got more armies or more number of people to fight. Of course, the number of armies that Jarasandh had got this 18th time was 23 Akshauhinis. How much? 23 Akshauhinis. The entire battle of Mahabharata at Kurukshetra, the total number of armies was 18 Akshauhinis. 7 on the side of the Pandavas, 11 on the side of the Kauravas. Now Jarasandh was here. Yeh sab bacha kucha maal tha, by the way. 17 baar ladne ke baad, kitne bache the? 23 Akshauhini. Now just imagine how much people were killed in those 17 times battle. But on this 18th time, Jarasandh attacked with 23 Akshauhinis. But Krishna, he did not face Jarasandh. He just runs away from the battle. Now it is very interesting that whatever Krishna does, he is glorified for that. And that is why one of the names of the Supreme Lord is Ranchhod. Right? The Lord is glorified as one who runs away from the battle. Usually Kshatriyas are glorified when they, you know, fight very valiantly in the battle. But here is Krishna, he is running away from the battle and the devotees are, you know, clapping their hands. You have been to Dakor sometimes, right? Dakor ma kon che? Raja Ranchhod che, right? So yes, the Lord is glorified as Ranchhod Rai in Dakor. It's a very beautiful temple in Gujarat. So the Acharya's question that why does the Lord do so? And after running away from there, Krishna and Balaram, they climb atop a very, very high mountain. The name of the mountain is Pravarshana. Because it is explained why this mountain is named Pravarshana. Because always Indra used to shower rains on the mountain Pravarshana. There was always this rainfall happening there. So Krishna and Balaram, they climb this huge tall mountain and Jarasandh is following behind. And he searches for the whole mountain, he is unable to find Krishna. Now wicked as Jarasandh was, what he does is he surrounds the whole mountain with firewood. And he lights up the whole mountain on fire. Na rahega baas, na bajegi basuri. To whomsoever it may concern. Let na letter pe dekha hoga aapne. Right? Wherever Krishna may be on this hill, may he be burned to ashes. So Jarasandh, he just lights up the whole mountain on fire. And it is explained that Krishna and Balaram, they jump from the mountain. If you've seen a picture in Krishna book, there is a beautiful picture that depicts that how Krishna and Balaram, they are jumping from such a great height. Now that great height was not one or two storied. How much was that great height, you know? That was 11 yojanas in height. One yojan is 13 kilometers. Prabhupada defines many places in his books. One yojan is 13 kilometers. So how much is 11 yojanas? Something around 140, 150 kilometers. 150 kilometer upar se chhalang laga. Abhi aap puchhe, achha mazak ho gaya. Bhagavatam mein bhi achha joke likha rehta hai. 150 kilometer. 150 kilometer to kaha Mount Everest bhi nahi hoga. Kitna rahega? How much is Mount Everest? Something 8,848, something like that. Right? Now here is Krishna and Balaram climbing from such a great huge height. How can he do so? And he doesn't have any bruises, he doesn't have any broken bones, and he is not at all. He just gets on his business. Niche landing hua, safe landing, and then he gets onto his work. no casualties of any kind. So how can Krishna do like that? He gives the reason for this also. Again, the same verse comes to our understanding. Janma karma chame divyam. The nature of the activities of the Lord are not ordinary. Whatever Krishna does is not ordinary in nature. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvatah. Tektva deham punarjanma neti maameti so Arjuna. That one who understands the nature of my birth and my activities does not upon leaving this body take birth again in this material world. So therefore, these pastimes, these narrations of the Lord are very much transcendental in nature. They are not like, you know, any other activities. When Krishna is lifting the Govardhan Hill, now Govardhan Hill has a circumference of 23 kilometers. And here was the 7-year-old boy, he lifted the whole Govardhan Hill for 7 days and 7 nights, and it was not that, you know, the whole television camera was, you know, filming the whole episode and abhi kya hone wala hai, dekhne wale, dekhte hain hum, Krishna agle din bhi utha paate hain ki nahi. No, it was an effortless endeavor. Right? I mean, there was no hue and cry about, you know, such a big thing has happened. The Vrajvasis were happy, Krishna was happy. The only person who was in distress was Indra. So whatever Krishna does is not ordinary. The pastimes of the Supreme Lord is transcendental in nature. And the purpose why Krishna performs these beautiful, inhumane pastimes is so that our minds gets absorbed in just thinking, how can it happen like this? And that is the purpose of Krishna performing these pastimes. The success of Krishna performing these pastimes comes when the minds of the living entities comes to a standstill. Hang ho jata hai. Samajhte na aap log? Kabhi kabhi computer pe kaam karte karte computer kya ho jata hai? Hang ho jata hai. Kitna bhi aap kuch karo, wo desired ye dikhata nahi hai. So similarly, the living entities, they also want to understand 150 kilometer kaise kud gaye, you know, ye aisa kaise ho sakta. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, maybe you will get bigger bouncers than this. Chaitanya Charitamrita has many more things which will surprise us. But then when we understand that the pastimes of the Lord are transcendental in nature, and because the Lord is supremely capable of doing anything and everything, therefore, the devotees of the Lord, they are not bewildered when they hear these, you know, great pastimes of the Lord. And someone may again question that why did Krishna run away from the battlefield? Was he fearful of Jarasandh? Why would he be fearful? He had already defeated Jarasandh 17 times. There was no reason for him to come back. But then it is explained that Krishna had to cater to something very, very urgent. He had to cater to something very important. And therefore, he even regarded the prospect of fighting with Jarasandh on a low priority. He gave it a low priority because he had to attend to something more urgent. And that is when Srila Sukadeva Goswami in Bhagavatam, he describes the next 2-3 chapters, describes how Krishna, he goes to Vidarbha to kidnap Rukmini Devi and the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. So that was just the background, and we'll begin with... So Bhagavatam presents that Parikshit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami, that tell me more, how did my great-grandfather... Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he kidnapped Rukmini Devi, and tell me in detail about the marriage between Krishna and Rukmini. So then Sukadeva Goswami goes on describing about the identity of Rukmini Devi. He mentions, he says, Bhagavan api Govinda upayema kurudvaha vaidarbhim bhishmaka sutam shriyo matram swayamvare. Pramathya tarasa ragya salvadim chaidya pakshagan pashyatam sarvalokanam Tarkshyaputrah Sudham Iva. O hero amongst the Kurus, the Supreme Lord himself, Govinda, married Bhishmaka's daughter, Vaidarbhi, who was a direct expansion of the goddess of fortune. The Lord did this by her desire, and in the process he beat down Shalva and the other kings who took Shishupal's side. Indeed, as everyone watched, Sri Krishna took Rukmini just as Garuda boldly stole the nectar from the demigods. And Srila Jiva Goswami, he gives a very brilliant purport to this particular verse. Srila Jiva Goswami, he mentions that the words Shriyo Matram indicates that the beautiful Rukmini was none other than the expansion of the supreme goddess of fortune. And therefore she was worthy to be the bride of the personality of Godhead. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Shriyah Kanta Kantah Parama Purushah. In the spiritual world, all the female lovers are goddesses of fortune, and the male lover is the supreme personality. Thus, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, Srimati Rukmini Devi is a plenary portion of Srimati Radharani. The Kartika Mahatmya section of the Padma Puran states, Kaishorya Gopa Kantyasta Yauvane Raj Kanyakaha. In childhood, Sri Krishna enjoyed with the daughters of cowherd men, and in his adolescence, he enjoyed with the daughters of kings. Similarly, in the Skanda Puran, we find the statement, Rukmini Dwaravatyam Tu Radha Vrindavane Vane. Rukmini is in Dwaraka, what Srimati Radharani is in the forest of Vrindavan. So in a sense, Rukmini Devi, she was the daughter of King Bhishmaka, who was the king of the Vaidarbha province. Your own dear Maharashtra. Mi ani mani, maza, Maharashtra ki, jai. So yes, it's a great fortune that we are discussing the glories and pastimes of Rukmini Devi at her own homeland here. So she was the daughter of king of Vidarbha. His name was Bhishmaka. And she had these five brothers. The eldest of the brother was Rukmi. The other brothers were Rukmaratha, Rukmabahu, Rukmakesha and Rukmamali. Now this personality, Rukmi, was a very interesting personality. There are actually two versions that how one of the versions states that Narad Muni often used to come to the province of Vidarbha, to the palace of Bhishmaka, King Bhishmaka. And he used to describe and narrate the pastimes of the Supreme Lord before the king and his family. And there, both Rukmi, along with his other brothers, and Rukmini, they used to hear about the glories of the Supreme Lord. But then depending on the attitude that a person has, one person became envious, the other person became attracted to the Supreme Lord. Here was Rukmi, because he was in the association of other people, like Shishupal, like Jarasan. Whatever he heard, because Shishupal had an inherent envy from his very childhood. You have known that how Shishupal from his very birth, he used to speak just foul words for Krishna. And because Rukmi was always in the association of Shishupal, he also developed that envy for Krishna. But then there is another version of the story where it is mentioned that in the province of Vidarbha, there were many businessmen who used to come from Dwarka. And these businessmen, they used to extol the glories of Krishna. That how Krishna is so wonderful and he performs such nice activities. And it is explained that just by hearing about the glories of the Supreme Lord, Rukmini Devi, she developed that intense desire to be with him. Hearing about the beauty, the prowess, the transcendental character and opulence of Mukunda from the visitors of the palace who sang his praises, Rukmini decided that he would be the perfect husband for her. King Bhishmaka was a pious man. And therefore, many spiritually oriented people used to visit his palace. And the Bhagavatam mentions that how undoubtedly these saintly people, they openly glorified the Supreme Lord Krishna. And hearing from the, you know, these saintly devotees about Krishna, Rukmini Devi, she also developed that desire to serve Krishna for her entire life. So example is given that just like a businessman is very much eager to use any opportunity that is there to make wealth. Paisa kamane ke liye, you know, whatever opportunity is there, a businessman is eager to, you know, negotiate that deal and win that deal. So similarly, a sadhaka or a living entity should also have a similar kind of an eagerness to hear about Krishna, to learn about the name, fame, glories and qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The words from the mouths of saintly devotees or exalted devotees of the Lord, they are compared to Mahaprasad. Now, this is another kind of a Mahaprasad, just in case you are confusing. The Mahaprasad that we know is that on a plate that is available. But then, there are some limitations to that Mahaprasad. What is the limitation? In honoring of Mahaprasad, there are two rules. Sometimes, there are fasting days. Fasting ka naam suna na, sabne. Like on Tuesday, we are having this Narsingh Chaturdashi coming Tuesday. And there is fasting till dusk. To bhale hi Mahaprasad rahega, Bhagwan ko to sab arpan hota hai. Lekin even though Mahaprasad is there, we are meant to be fasting from Mahaprasad. Another rule is that you cannot overeat Mahaprasad. Limited quantity mein hi honor kar sakte, right? But the Mahaprasad about the narrations of the Supreme Lord does not have these two limitations. There is no fasting from hearing about the Supreme Lord. A devotee should be eager to hear about the Supreme Lord at any amounts of occasion and at any opportunity that is available. So there is no fasting from hearing about the glories of the Supreme Lord. And there is nothing like overeating. Jitna sunenge, utna purification hoga, utna Bhagwan ke prati attraction develop hoega. There is another beautiful comparison that is given. That the remnants, the food remnants of the Supreme Lord, that Mahaprasad is only available for a short amount of time. Agar jaldi nahi liya to kya hoga? Khatam ho jayega. Some of you may be having that experience when on the festival days there is a lot of Mahaprasad that is available. But then everyone knows that if I have to get some Mahaprasad, I have to use my intelligence, right? Because it is limited in nature, right? It is limited in nature and only few people can honor it. Pure Bombay ko nahi de sakte. Hai na? Mahaprasad kya hota hai? Limited hota hai. But Krishna Katha is not limited in nature. Krishna Katha is unlimited and Krishna Katha can be distributed to as many number of people as possible. So there is no dearth of distribution of Krishna Katha. The only dearth is receiving that Krishna Katha. Srila Prabhupada used to mention that there is no problem in this world other than the absence of the desires of the living entity is to hear about Krishna. So yes, here was Rukmini Devi who was to regularly hear from these people who used to come from Dwarka and extol the glories of the Supreme Lord. And what was the result of that hearing? Itna sunne pe kya ho gaya? Just like there are these advertisements. Rehta na? Abhi kya cheez ka advertisement hota hai? Main to zyada dekhta nahi hu. Kya cheez ka advertisement hai? Ekdam prominent. At the top of your mind. Mobile phones or anything for that sort. To ek bar, jahan bhi jao, wahan pe aapko wahi advertisement dikhega. Like sometimes here you see in the railway stations, wo ek phone ka brand rahega, koi bhi. I'm not for or against any brand, but then, you know, one particular brand and then the whole platform is filled with itna chota board, uske baad itna bada board, uske baad itna bada board, aur train pe bhi pura wahi phone ka brand. So again, repeated, you know, bombardment, you know, view this, itna selfie camera, itna bada uska front camera, itna back camera, aur hazar baar savere se leke sham tak, day in and day out, all through the week, all through the month, everywhere you go, everything that you see is reminding you, arre, buy this phone. Buy this phone, look at, you will be looking very handsome. Aapka selfie ekdam zordar aayega ye phone se, khichne se, right? Now what happens by that? Dhyayato vishyan pumsa, sangasteshu upajayate, right? An intense desire to achieve that particular product takes hold in the mind. So here was Rukmini Devi, hearing about Krishna repeatedly, her desire also strengthened, and her love for Krishna also awakened within her heart. So it is said that, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is present within everyone, but it has been forgotten. And therefore, the most powerful and natural way of reawakening that relationship with Krishna is by hearing Krishna's holy name and pastimes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The Chaitanya Charitamrita beautifully describes Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Ko Banaye, Shravanadi Suddhe Chitte Karoye Udaye. That the love of the living entity for the Supreme Lord is inherently present within each and every living entity. One time, a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, that Swamiji, what will happen if everyone in the whole world becomes ISKCON devotees? So now this fellow thought that, you know, he has cornered Prabhupada and maybe he has, you know, now that Prabhupada will be unable to reply anything to him. But then Prabhupada said, actually everyone is a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Everyone is Krishna's devotees. The only difference is that some know it and some don't. So this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that how Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Ko Banaye, that the love of the Supreme Lord, love of the living entity for the Supreme is already present in a dormant nature within the heart of a living entity. And then Shravan Adi Shuddhe Chitte Karoye Udaye, that how by inculcating the process of devotional service, beginning with Shravan, Shravan Adi refers to the 9 processes of devotional service enunciated by Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam and all that. So just by hearing about Krishna, one's love for the Supreme Lord is bound to be reawakened. So it is said that upon leaving this world, Krishna has left behind Srimad Bhagavatam to deliver the people in the dark age of Kali. And Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto, our hearts will be attracted to the Supreme Lord. Now sometimes when we come to the temple, we may come here for darshan and we may see some devotees, you know, glued to darshan. Dekha hai kabhi aapne? Wo darshan ke liye aaye to udhar hi khade hain. Aur kya aadan pradan ho raha hai? Nahi, pehli baar jab bhi log aate hain to haan ho gaya, dekh liya, ye Krishna hai, Radha hai, haan ho gaya. Baki aur kya, acha chandelier acha hai, haan, diwar bhi acche hai. और उधर कौन स्वामी जी बैठे हैं? अच्छा हाँ, अच्छा ये हैं क्या आपके संस्था के संस्थापक आचार्य? अच्छा अच्छा अच्छा, हो गया, पूरा मंदिर देख के उनको 2 मिनट में हो जाता है, right? But then there are some people, and I must admit the consistency of most of you present here, you know, coming every Sunday early in the morning and being in the association of devotees, being in the association of deities, relishing the association of Krishna. So what is the difference between these two people? Here is someone who is also present before Krishna, who is also present before Gopinath. And here is some other devotee
For the last 15 years, 20 years, every Sunday without fail, he has been coming for the morning Bhagavatam class and then he is going away from the temple after the night Shayan Darshan. And then he is reciprocating with the Supreme Lord. What is the difference? The difference is that the other person has an increased quota of his hearing about the Supreme Lord. Because there has been that repeated hearing about Krishna, therefore, to some extent, that attraction for the Supreme Lord has increased, has developed within the heart of a devotee. So yes, Prabhupada used to mention that the temples of the Krishna consciousness movements, they are universities. They are universities for propagating the glories of the Supreme Lord. And as budding sadhakas, as practicing devotees, we are here as students to learn about Krishna. And the more we hear about Krishna, the more our hearts will be attracted by the Lord. And the more we'll also be able to express our surrender before Krishna. So hearing from the right people in the right association in a proper state of mind, that is when love of Krishna will awaken by the grace of the Supreme Lord Himself. And another benefit of hearing repeatedly from Krishna, repeatedly hearing about Krishna, is that the heart actually gets transformed. In Ishopanishad, there is this beautiful analogy given that just like the sun ray is there. So the sun ray is so powerful that no matter where it falls, it has the potency to purify the place. Right? And even though the sun ray may be falling on a piece of dung, on a piece of excreta, right? The sun rays has that potency to convert it into soil over a period of time. So similarly, hearing Krishna Katha, the impurities within the heart, slowly and gradually, they subside. And the as and how the heart gets transformed, we are able to increase in our devotion for the Supreme Lord. And then Bhagavatam presents a lot of the stories where devotees who had heard about Krishna, they also developed in their attraction for the Supreme Lord. There is the beautiful story of Prahlad Maharaj. How Prahlad Maharaj, he heard about Krishna when he was within the womb of his mother. And Narad Muni was describing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Hearing about the glories of the Lord within the womb, he developed that devotion for the Supreme Lord. Hearing about the Supreme Lord from Narad Muni, Dhruva, he increased in his devotion. And there were the wives of the Yajna Patnis, the wives of the ritualistic Brahmanas. That's the story in, again, the 10th canto on Bhagavatam. How just by hearing about Krishna, they also had developed this intense attraction for the Supreme Lord. So yes, here is Rukmini Devi in her palace at Vidarbha, in the palace of King Bhishmaka, hearing about Krishna. And her attraction for Krishna is growing day by day. And at one point of time, she learns that her brother Rukmi is planning to marry her off to this personality called Shishupal. Now here is Rukmini, the only sister of these five brothers, and they are kind of big time people. Rukmi, Rukmaratha, and what all other names, I don't remember. Rukma Bahu, Rukma Kesh, and Rukma Mali. So there are these big personalities there in Vidarbha, and they have decided, family decision ho gaya hai. You know, everything is set now, okay. Even Bhishmaka, he has also consented. Yes, okay, done. And Rukmini is about to give Rukmini in marriage to Shishupal. What happens next? Does Rukmini think what to do? This is what was destined to happen. ऐसा ही होना था, मेरे कर्म में ऐसा लिखा हुआ था. ऐसा कुछ लगता है कभी कभी हमारे मन में भी ये विचार आते हैं, वॉट टू डू, दिस इज हाउ थिंग्स आर, दिस इज वॉट हैज बीन इन माई फेट एंड दिस इज हाउ इट हैज बीन ऑर्डेंड, सो देर फोर लेट मी जस्ट एक्सेप्ट इट. नो, रुक्मिणी शी डिड नॉट जस्ट एक्सेप्ट द रेगुलर स्टेट ऑफ अफेयर्स. शी वॉज ऑल्सो ए क्षत्रिय. The Bhagavatam purport very beautifully it is mentioned that Rukmini, she was a king's daughter. She was courageous and bold. And furthermore, she would rather die than lose Krishna. Now just imagine the kind of attraction that had developed within the heart of Rukmini, that she did not want to compromise on that situation. At the same time, Rukmini Devi, knowing very well that she cannot argue with her brother, she was very sensitive. She knew that, you know, it is useless to argue with a person like Rukmi. He is not going to hear it. He is not going to consent. So there is no use talking to. Sometimes intelligence speaks like that. Yes, better devise some other plan. So here is Rukmini. She very intelligently, considering all this, she writes a frank, explicit letter begging Krishna to come and take her away. Prabhupada describes that this style of marriage is known as the Rakshasa style. Now, first time when you hear, you know, this Rakshasa style, it is like something, you know, how can you call Krishna a Rakshasa like that? But that is how the style of marriage is defined. So yes, Rukmini, she was aware of the plan and it deeply upset her. And therefore, analyzing the situation, she quickly sends a trustworthy Brahmana to Krishna in Dwarka. So the lesson here for us here is that we may also go through a lot of situations and circumstances in life. And many a times the mind will just give a reason. Why do you want to do something different? Why do you want to do something extra? This is just do what everyone else is doing. मतलब संडे को मंदिर भी जाने की कोई जगह होती है, मंदिर भी हर संडे वो भी, कभी आपको लोगों ने बोला ऐसा? Why go to a temple every Sunday and that too go in the morning and come in the evening? मंदिर में जाओ ठीक है, पांच मिनट में दर्शन ले लो, थोड़ा चढ़ावा चढ़ा दो, घंटी बजा दो, हमारे मंदिर में तो घंटी है ही नहीं. So many times when people come initially, they're looking, आपके मंदिर में घंटा नहीं है? घंटा? बोले नहीं, हमारे मंदिर में घंटी नहीं है, हमारे मंदिर में बांसुरी है, वो भगवान बजा रहे बस. So yes. So sometimes people feel that, oh, why be in a temple all day long? Why do something different? भगवान का नाम आप इतने कम उम्र से जपना चालू कर दिए, ये भी कोई उम्र है क्या हाथ में माला पकड़ने की? ये तो जब ही सब रिटायरमेंट हो जाए, आपका 65 साल हो जाए, आपके आपके जब ही दांत झड़ने लग जाए तभी आप महाप्रसाद खाओ, आपके पैरों में जब भी बिल्कुल भी ताकत ना बचे तभी आप कीर्तन में आके क्या करो, डांसिंग करो, और क्या, आंखों में जब भी शक्ति नहीं बच जाए तभी चंदन यात्रा का दर्शन लो, राइट? Many times people say that devotional service or Krishna consciousness is something to be done at the fag end of your life. Ekdam budhape mein karne ki cheeze ye. Sorry, that is not how we have been taught by our acharyas. From the very beginning, Prahlad Maharaj says very beautifully in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kaumaret acharet pragyo. From the very tender age of 5 years, one should start practicing Krishna consciousness. And one should learn about Krishna. Because when one has time, one can become expert in that particular field. Just like if someone is wanting to get a medal, get a gold medal in Olympics. Kisi ko agar swimming mein, Olympics mein gold medal lena ya, you know, relay race mein gold medal hasil karna hai. There is a lot of practice that goes into it. Right? You need to learn the art. You know, go to the Shivaji park here. And there are so many small little children, pura itna bada bada cricket kit leke ekdam savere 5 baje maidan mein pahunch jate hain. Kyun? Sachin Tendulkar banne ke liye. Hai ki nahi? I'm joking, you just go visit any morning. The whole huge big field is filled with people practicing. Why practicing? So that one day they also become experts. And they are also, they would also be able to excel in that particular sports. So similarly, when we understand that this human form of life is meant to finally give up our bodies, remembering Krishna, anta kalecha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam, right? Krishna says that one who remembers me at the time of quitting this body does not come back to this material world. That is the purpose of this human form of life. So yes, someone may say, Bhagwan ko yaad karna hai na, theek hai, yaad kar lenge, I will remember. But doesn't work like that. It is like a foolish student who may think that, okay, I have to crack rank 1 in IIT JEE. Rank 1 chahiye na, uske liye kya chahiye? Exam mein achha perform karna. So yes, when the examination paper will come, that is when I will perform, I will write all those questions in the super excellent manner and I will score rank 1. Does it happen that way? No, doesn't happen. I mean, 10-15 years back when we used to be in schools and colleges, hamara preparation 9th standard, 10th standard se shuru hota tha. Abhi to 5th standard, 6th standard, se hi log IIT JEE or PMT and whatnot, people have started preparing. Why? Because when there is more time, when you get more time, there is time to practice Krishna consciousness. Similarly, remembering the Supreme Lord at the time of death is not a joke. It requires a lot of practice. And therefore, when we take up to the Krishna consciousness process early on, when we take this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very, very seriously and complete our rounds with due attention, practicing it day after day, you know, year after year, then, you know, it gets into the system. Then one day if our rounds are left, it bugs us. Aaj mera japa nahi hua hai, right? But if someone is not serious, no, theek hai, aaj nahi hua, kal kar lenge, kal nahi hua, itni bhi jaldi kya hai, right? There is that proverb, right? So no. So what if we at all want to achieve success at the end of our lives, we need to understand that how whatever time is there, it has to be invested in very, very appropriately. So yes, Rukmini Devi here is teaching us that we should take the right action at the right time in our life. When Krishna blesses us with the association of devotees, when Krishna blesses us with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we should be willing to accept it with all our hearts. And we should be willing to take up to the process of Krishna consciousness, even though up until now we had not been practicing anything of that sort. Right? I mean, we are here clad in dhoti and kurta and tilak and everything. Who amongst us, I mean, very few of us may be here who were born like that. Right? Someone taught us, this is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Bolo, Hare Krishna, Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kabhi kabhi to bina pura repeat kiye prasad bhi nahi milta hai. Nahi, pehle bolo, Hare Krishna, dekha na aapne. To phir wo spoon udhar se prasad girta hai. Right? So yes, Krishna consciousness may be something new for us. There is a beautiful saying, it is said that the most difficult thing in Krishna consciousness. What is the most difficult thing in Krishna consciousness? The most difficult step in Krishna consciousness is the next step that we are asked to take. Samajh mein aaya aapko? Is the next step. Just like you may be attending some program. Theek hai. Aap ek bar aapko kisi ne bulaya program mein. You know, please come for this weekly program. We have a person coming from the Hare Krishna temple. And he speaks nice things. So he also thought, okay, let me go and check it out. What this person is speaking. So okay, one time I went. Achha tha. What was the best thing? Well, dinner. Aapne ghar mein nahi banta aisa. Udhar ka dinner bahut achha tha. Toh next step kya bolte hai? Theek hai. Agle hafte, फिर से आना. सो देन दैट इज अ डिफिकल्ट स्टेप, राइट? ठीक है, वन टाइम यू टोल्ड प्लीज कम, वन टाइम आई वेंट, नाउ यू आर आस्किंग मी टू कम एवरी टाइम. ओके, आई स्टार्ट कमिंग टू द प्रोग्राम एवरी टाइम, देन दी स्टोरी डजेंट एंड देयर. यू शुड ऑल्सो कम टू दी टेम्पल. वी डोंट हैव जस्ट दिस वन प्रोग्राम, ये तो हमारा वीक में, हफ्ते में होता है. यू शुड ऑल्सो कम टू दी टेम्पल ऑन संडेज. ओके, आई स्टार्टेड कमिंग ऑन द टेम्पल ऑन संडेज. देन दी नेक्स्ट स्टेप, लुक, एवरी वन इज हैविंग समथिंग इन देयर हैंड्स, है ना? Everyone is having something in their hands, so you should also have this. ठीक है, हमको भी दे दिया गया ये लोग गिफ्ट शॉप से, अच्छा नया नया बीड बैग, नया नया माला हम भी लटका के घूम रहे हैं, पता नहीं किसने हमको क्या पढ़ दिया. ओके, वी ऑल्सो स्टार्ट चैंटिंग एंड देन वी स्टार्ट चैंटिंग टू राउंड्स. देन वन डे प्रभु जी और माता जी सेज, इट हैज बीन क्वाइट सम टाइम, यू हैव बीन चैंटिंग टू राउंड्स, नाउ यू शुड बी चैंटिंग more rounds and more rounds and more rounds. And it, you know, it appears that mere ko pehle din agar bata diya rehta to main ye game udhar hi band kar deta tha. But no, the story doesn't end till this personality successfully is, you know, able to pull us right from one till a good 16 rounds, and we are also busy getting up early in the morning and grabbing our bead. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Soch rahe, kab chalu hua, kab khatam hoga, you know. And then the next step comes, nahin, you should also attend counseling meetings, and you should also aspire for initiation and serve the spiritual master, and, you know, develop desire to serve Srila Prabhupada and dedicate your life for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And the story seems unending, because Krishna is unlimited and ways of serving Krishna, they are unlimited, right? Previously we used to come to the festivals and honor Mahaprasad. Now we are told, okay, when you come for the festival, please bring bhoga for the Lord, right? And then, you know, initially we may bring some one or two bhogas, and then we see on Radhashtami there are 1500 items of bhoga that devotees are bringing, and then we also get, oh my God, I also know so many things. Krishna, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I also make. So yes, the whole purport here, why I'm describing this, is that we have also taken to the process of Krishna consciousness, and we have also done things we had never imagined we'll be doing, right? But here Rukmini Devi is speaking or telling that if at all we have to develop that relationship with Krishna, we have to take right decisions in our life at the right time. We cannot procrastinate. We cannot push things to be done tomorrow. It has to be done today. Because the fact of the matter remains that how much time do we have in this human form of life, no one knows. Right? So therefore, today is the day. So yes, bhakti is not to be begun at the fag end of our lives. We should realize the opportunity to get into the association of Krishna as soon as possible. There is a beautiful comparison that is given herein. Rukmini Devi is compared to a living entity of this world. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rukmi is compared to the devilish mind of the living entity. And Shishupal is compared to the uncontrolled senses or the impure senses. And the Brahmana that Rukmini Devi summons to the Supreme Lord is compared to the spiritual master or the guru. So if the living entity has to get in association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there has to be two things that must be there. The first thing is that it has to override the propositions of the mind to surrender to the senses. The senses are impure. Shishupal is an impure personality. And Rukmi is like the demon. He wants to hand over the living entity, that is Rukmini, to the impure senses, to the dictation of the senses. But the living entity, the responsibility of the living entity is to put the faith in the words of the spiritual master and, you know, forward her case to the Supreme Lord. So the Brahmana acted as the messenger of Rukmini Devi, and the Brahmana takes the message of Rukmini Devi to Krishna. So that is how the living entity is supposed to handle the mind, pray to Krishna, and have faith in the spiritual master. This letter of Rukmini Devi is very, very significant. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to dance in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And he used to dance all night long. And one of the themes remembering which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to dance was this prayers, these prayers of Rukmini Devi. Now Bhagavatam has many prayers. There are prayers of the demigods to Krishna within the womb of Devaki. There are prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. There is prayers by Dhruva Maharaj. Prayers by the personified Vedas. And all of these prayers run into chapters. Huge prayers, large number of prayers. But the prayers of Rukmini Devi, they are very short. Only 3 or 4 verses. But then, even though they are very short, they convey the essence of her heart. So Rukmini decided that Krishna was the perfect husband for her. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is actually the supreme maintainer, controller, and the master of all the living entities in this world. This second canto, 4th chapter, 20th verse, Sukadeva Goswami gives a very, very beautiful comparison how Krishna is the supreme husband. Shriyah patir yagyapatih prajapatir, dhyam patir lokapatir dharapati, patir gati shandhaka vrishni satvatam, prasidatam me bhagavan satampati. He compares Krishna to the husband of many, many things. Krishna is Shriyapati. He is the master of the goddess of fortune. Now, goddess of fortune is Lakshmi Devi. And Krishna is the master of Lakshmi Devi. In other words, he is the master of all the opulences that exist in this world. Krishna is Yajnapati. Bhagavad Gita describes that how Krishna is Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. That he is the director of all sacrifices and he is the benefactor of all sacrifices. He is Yajnapati. He is Prajapati. He is the one who has, from whom all the praja or all the progeny has emanated. He is the one who created Lord Brahma and others. So therefore he is the leader of all living entities, Prajapati. He is Dhyampati. From him comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. And therefore Dhyampati refers that how Krishna, he is the controller of intelligence. In the Bhagavad Gita he describes that for a sincere person who wants to come to him, I provide him with the required intelligence by which he can come to me. So that is Dhyampati. He is Lokapati. He is the proprietor of all the planets within the creation, all the spiritual and within the spiritual and material worlds. He is Lokapati. He is Dharapati. As the incarnation of Varahadev, he lifted Bhumi Devi, he lifted Dhara Devi from the Garbhodak Sagar. There was a fight that had happened between Hiranyaksha and Varahadev. And Hiranyaksha had toppled off earth from her orbit. And that is when by his task, Lord Varaha, he lifts Bhumi Devi. That is how he is Dharapati. Patir gatischa andhaka vrishni sattvatam. He is the protector and glory of all the kings like Andhaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty. And he is Satampati. He is the worshipable lord of all the devotees. There is a very peculiar characteristic in this letter of Rukmini Devi. In this letter of Rukmini Devi, when we go through it, it signifies a very, very desperate expression of her surrender. Rukmini Devi was able to understand the urgency of the situation, the gravity of the situation. Bhishmaka was a very powerful ruler. Rukmi was a very powerful personality. The allies of Rukmi, Shishupal and Jarasand. Remember Jarasand? We had begun our talk with this great personality. So Jarasand was an ally of Rukmi. So Rukmini Devi, she knew very well that fighting these, you know, whole thing just on one's own prowess is not going to be possible. And therefore she needs to do something very, very urgently. And therefore in her letter, she very desperately expresses her sentiments to Lord Krishna. So it is said that in this material world, we cannot assume anything. We cannot think that with the passage of time, everything will be set right. Chinta mat karo, samay ke saath sab theek ho jayega. Does that happen that way? No, it doesn't happen. The Gita defines very, very explicitly, this world is dukkhalayam asashvatam. Right? This world is going to be filled with miseries, and it is temporary in nature. So therefore, unless and until there has the surrender of a living entity is explicit in nature. Sometimes people say, we also have devotion within our hearts. आप लोग क्या इस्कॉन वाले इतना भक्ति भक्ति करते रहते हैं? हम भी अपने घर में भगवान की पूजा करते है ना? भारत में हर कोई भगवान की पूजा करता है कि नहीं? मतलब ठीक है, अभी मॉडर्न सिनेरियो को थोड़ा छोड़ दे तो, बट देन यू नो मेनी टाइम्स पीपल से कि आई ऑल्सो वर्शिप कृष्णा विद इन माई हार्ट. हम हृदय के अंदर भगवान को मानते हैं, हम भी भगवान को मानते हैं, लेकिन भगवान के लिए कुछ आप करेंगे? डू यू वॉन्ट टू डू समथिंग फॉर द लॉर्ड? डू यू वॉन्ट टू चैंट द होली नेम्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड? आर यू रेडी टू सैक्रीफाइस सम ऑफ योर टाइम, सम ऑफ योर एनर्जी फॉर द प्लेजर ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड? Don't ask me to sacrifice anything. I want to be a passive devotee. You know, passive devotee, you understand? Who is not actively wanting to surrender. Here is Rukmini Devi. Her surrender was not passive. She took certain concrete steps to express her surrender for the Supreme Lord. She summoned this Brahmana. She wrote down this letter and she expressed a desperate sense of urgency in that letter, and she sent that Brahmana with an urgent, no, with a high priority, on a high priority mail. That was a very high priority mail, and because Krishna also understood, that is why he had left that 18th battle with Jarasand, and he rushed back because he knew udhar ek inbox mein kya aane wala hai, mail aane wala hai Vidarbha se, right? Because Krishna knew the urgency, he is omniscient. Krishna knew very well. And therefore, even for a living entity, that expression of surrender has to be very active in nature. We can't just excuse ourselves saying that, oh, I'll be a passive devotee. Once in a while, I'll go to some program, I'll hear some Krishna katha, have some prasad, and let, you know, just leave me at that. Nahi. Krishna is not a person who will just leave us once we come to his doorsteps. You see the form of Gopinath? No. He is bent at three places. No. The form of the Lord is Tribhanga. So once Krishna enters into someone's life, it is very difficult to take him out. Right? So therefore, you know, and it should not be that, it should not be a cause of some fear or anything. Arey baap re, Bhagwan meri zindagi mein aa gaye, wo hamare bhale ke liye. We shouldn't feel ki, you know, ab tak sab kuch achcha chal raha tha. We may think like that. But the devotees of the Lord, they know that no matter how much we may consider that my life is going on too nice, quote unquote cool, bolte na? Cool. My life is going on very cool. No matter how cool your life is going on, the anxieties of material nature will just heat up the mind time and again. That is how the material world has been designed. And in her prayers, Rukmini Devi mentions, you know, one of the prayers that the narrations that Rukmini Devi summons Krishna, is she addresses Krishna, is that just by hearing about you, the heat within the minds of the living entity, that gets dissipated. That is the one of the aspects of her prayers. So yes, dependence of the Supreme Lord, along with a detailed active plan by a devotee, is going to award the desired destination. Rukmini Devi, she addresses Krishna by the word Ajita in Bhagavatam, in that letter. She mentions Krishna is Ajita. Ajita refers to one who is unconquerable. Jita means one who can be defeated. And Ajita means one who cannot be defeated. So Rukmini Devi knew very well that Krishna is all capable. He is an expert. He is Ajita. But that is what her intelligence was speaking. But then she did not want to take any chances. And therefore what she does is that in her address to the Lord, she presents a detailed plan how Krishna can abduct her. A detailed plan of action. So yes, the intelligence was speaking that Krishna is Ajita. Krishna is unconquerable. He can do so, whatever. If he wants, he can do it. But then emotions took over. She did not want to take any chances. And therefore, Rukmini Devi, she presents this detailed plan. Yahan pe security bahut tight hai. Charo taraf CCTV cameras lage hue hai. You know, these big personalities, kings have arrived from different parts of the world. And therefore, oh my dear Lord, it may not be easy for you to take me out of this situation. But then, because she was also from the Kshatriya clan, she was an insider. She knew how to get out of the Chakravyuh. And that is how she mentions a detailed plan. Look, she presents the time. When can you abduct me? She mentions the place. I'll be going to this goddess Durga temple. And then on the way back, you know, before I reach my house, that is the best place. So very detailed plan is presented by Rukmini Devi. So here, there are these two aspects that she is demonstrating. One is the desperate surrender that she is demonstrating in her letter, and she is presenting a detailed action plan. So when there is a combination of these factors, the factor of desperate surrender, desperate desire to be in the association of the Supreme Lord, and a detailed plan, how can we do it? How can we, as sadhakas, plan our Krishna conscious future in a manner so that we will be in association of Krishna tomorrow? We can't subject ourselves to the ways of the material nature, right? Because the material nature has been designed in a manner to keep us away from Krishna, right? But then when we come up with a plan, okay, this is how. Gaur Purnima se, Sola Mala Jap Chalu Kiya. Kartik Yatra, yes, I am coming for Kartik Yatra. How many of you are coming for Kartik Yatra? Shri Mayapur Dham. Shri Mayapur Dham ki? Jada log nahi aare, aisa kyun ho rahe? Okay. So yes, we should also have a detailed plan for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. What do I do next? We should be asking from people who are there to guide us. This is what is my situation. How do I move from this stage to the next stage? Although the next step may be the most difficult step. Just like when we are not chanting anything, someone asks us to chant two rounds. Like it's a very, you know, disastrous situation. Matlab, main kya? Main 10 minute Hare Krishna Mahamantra leke main jap karta rahunga. And then when we start chanting eight rounds, chanting two rounds seems to be very insignificant. And someone who has been chanting 16 rounds for so many years, he is looking back and thinking, you know, itna kya soch raha do mala jap karne ke liye, right? And the first time we start attending some program, immediately people who know us, they label us with, you know, ye Hare Krishna wala ban gaya. He has just come for one or two programs, right? And there is this, you know, devotee who has been there in the movement for 30-40 years, and he is seeing that, you know, this person is being glorified as being a Hare Krishna, not doing anything, and still he is being glorified. So yes, here, coming back to our factors here, there has to be dependence on the Supreme Lord, and there has to be a proper plan. Only when these two things are there, will we be achieving the desired destination of being in the association of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So yes, because Rukmini Devi has both these factors well in place, Krishna very well accepts her devotion. And we'll rush through a little bit that how Krishna, as enemies they look on, Krishna sees the princess who was eager to mount his chariot. And as Rukmini Devi, she jumps onto the chariot of Krishna, immediately all the other kings, they attack. And seeing the attack of the king, Rukmini, she gets little worried. Now Krishna replies a very significant answer here. He says to Rukmini Devi, don't worry, don't get bothered. Your soldiers will easily defeat these kings. Now it has been just a few moments that Krishna has accepted her devotion. And within just those few moments, Krishna is addressing Rukmini and saying that all these soldiers that have come with me from Dwarka, they are no longer mine. Who are they? They are now your soldiers. So that is the beauty of surrender. Surrender may be having a very negative connotation in this world. But then surrender to Krishna, it is said that Krishna, just by getting a small glimpse of surrender of his devotee, he is ready to give himself to him. It is said that when a living entity, he takes one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 1,000 steps towards that living entity. And the steps of Krishna are simply too large. Within just two steps, Krishna had covered the entire material creation as Lord Trivikram, right? Like that. So that is a very beautiful analogy that is presented herein. Another very beautiful lesson here is that after that battle, the kings are defeated, Rukmi is caught. He was also a part of the attacking team. And Krishna is about to kill Rukmini. That is when Rukmini Devi, she holds Krishna. And she pleads Krishna not to kill her brother. That is very significant. One may say that, why to have such a sentiment for such a person, Rukmi? He wanted to give you in marriage to Shishupal. But it is mentioned that how Rukmini, she harmonized the relationships she had very beautifully. She was connected to Rukmi, and therefore she did not want him to be killed by Krishna. But at the same time, she did not allow her affection for Rukmi to get swayed away from Krishna. There was affection for her family member, for her own kinsmen, right? But then she did not allow that affection to come in way of her relationship with the Supreme Lord. So when we are in proper cognizance of how relationships should be prioritized in this world, how a relationship with Krishna has to be given a higher priority, that is what we can learn from this particular pastime. And then eventually Krishna, he doesn't kill Rukmi. He just shaves him off in a very artistic fashion. And Rukmi, he's still fuming. You know, it is said that out of all the anarthas, the false ego of a living entity is the last to go. Now here was Rukmi utterly defeated by the armies of Krishna. And he was shaved off, you know, in a very irregular manner, and his mustache and beard and everything. But still Rukmi's false ego did not finish off. It is said that he resolved that he will not go within the kingdom of Kaundinapur, within the kingdom of Vidarbha. He will not enter that city. He will remain on the outskirts of the city. Unless and until he kills Krishna, he will not return back to that city. That is the resolve Rukmi had. So even after humiliation, Rukmi resolved to kill Krishna. And he vows not to enter Kundinagram, or you know, his city, like this. So such kind of vows are expressed to be in the mode of ignorance. So there are different vows. Some vows are taken in the mode of goodness, some in passion, and this is an example of a vow taken in the mode of ignorance. And going ahead, sure, then the marriage party moves on Krishna very successfully with all the Yadu army. They arrive in Dwarka, and there is a very pompous marriage ceremony that is described in the 56th chapter of the 10th canto that goes there. I'll just end up with a small understanding of how there is a Rukmini temple in Dwarka, and a very beautiful pastime is there, that how when Rukmini Devi and Krishna were living in Dwarka, one time they learned that Durvasa Muni was around. So those of you who have been to Dwarka, you have seen that there is the Dwarkadhish temple right in the middle of the city, right? Anyone been to Dwarka here? Any place raise your hands? Yes, many devotees have been to Dwarka. So the temple of Dwarkadhish is right there in this main town of Dwarka. Small town, very beautiful. But the temple of Rukmini Devi is pretty far. No, in the outskirts of the city. Not even outskirts. It's like a good 10-12 kilometers out of the city. There is the temple of Rukmini Devi. So it is explained that how one time Durvasa Muni, he comes to Dwarka, and Krishna and Rukmini, they invite him for dinner. But sometimes Durvasa Muni, he has unique conditions. So this time Durvasa Muni, he says that, yes, I can come for dinner to your palace, provided I am not pulled, my chariot is not pulled by any animals. Krishna and Rukmini should themselves pull my chariot to the palace. So Krishna, because he is very much favorably disposed towards the Brahmanas, he agrees, and both Krishna and Rukmini, with great difficulty, Rukmini Devi is, pulling the chariot. And midway, Rukmini Devi, she gets tired, and she feels thirsty. So Krishna, he just ducks the ground with his toe, and there is a spring of holy river Ganges that springs out from that place. And Rukmini Devi, she drinks that water without offering it to Durvasa Muni first. So Durvasa Muni immediately, as many of us would expect, he gets angry and he curses Rukmini Devi. There are two curses that he pronounces. He says that for 12 years, she will have to be separated from her husband, Lord Krishna. And within 16 kilometer radius of this city of Dwarka, there will not be any sweet drinking water available. So even today when you go to Dwarka, the water there is, it's hard water. Khara pani ho. It's not sweet drinking water. So that is because the curse of Durvasa Muni. And then the spot where Ganges water manifested, and Rukmini Devi later did penance for 12 years, that is where the current temple of Rukmini Devi is in Dwarka. So this temple was built by the great grandson of Krishna, Vajranab, and a very beautiful white marble statue of Rukmini Devi is there in the Chaturbhuja form as the supreme goddess of fortune, like that. And today with the darshan also we have here, the Chandaniyatra darshan of Radha Gopijan Vallabh, is Rukmini Devi is worshipping Udupi Sri Krishna. So yes, this beautiful form of the Supreme Lord Himself was given by Lord Krishna Himself to Rukmini Devi, and Rukmini Devi was daily worshipping this form in Dwarka. And after the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, when Dwarka submerged in the sea, this beautiful deity of Krishna also got submerged in the sea. And the story goes that how one time there was a merchant, this was just 800 years back, there was a businessman who was traveling from Dwarka, and he was traveling along the west coast of India. And his boat, the boat of the businessman, gets stuck up at a place called Udupi here. And that is when Sripada Madhvacharya, the great Vaishnava Acharya, he was there in Udupi. And because he himself was an incarnation of Vayudev, he just waves his uttari and the boat of the businessman gets out of, gets freed basically. And this businessman is very much grateful that, you know, you have saved so much of my hard-earned possessions. So what can I give you? So Madhvacharya says that I am a renunciant, what can I take from you? But then this businessman says that, but I have nice Gopi Chandan that I am getting from Dwarka, so please accept it. And then when that Gopi Chandan is brought there, no one is able to lift it. It's so heavy. Because now that, you know, this businessman had just got some heavy weight. He just needed some heavy weight to balance his boat in the rough sea weather. So just to balance his boat, he had some Gopi Chandan. And he said, okay, anyways, this is of no use to me. Maybe you will be able to use it. So Madhva, and then, but then no one is able to lift it. But then Madhvacharya, when he comes, as he touches the, you know, huge mound of Gopi Chandan, the whole thing bursts apart, and the deity of Udupi Sri Krishna manifests. Very beautiful deity. You can go to Udupi sometimes and take darshan of this Udupi Sri Krishna, which was personally, you know, worshipped by Rukmini Devi at Dwarka. And over a period of time, then subsequently Madhvacharya, he established very gorgeous deity worship there. So yes, today on the occasion of Rukmini Dwadashi, we can also submit our prayer to Rukmini Devi. What could be our prayer to Rukmini Devi? It's just compiled some things. That by her mercy and the mercy of the Supreme Lord, we can also recognize our situation in this material world. Just like Rukmini Devi, she was able to recognize the situation in which she had been put. Similarly, we can also recognize that how we are also being tormented, no matter how comfortable any situation in the material world may seem like, there is always danger. Padam padam yad vipadam na tesham. So once we recognize our situation in the material world and we understand the urgency to take to Krishna consciousness, we need to understand that Krishna consciousness is not something optional. It is not something, you know, theek hai, ye iskon wale kuch to bol rahe, maybe, okay, nice, good things they are speaking. But then we need to understand that these are the words of the Shastra. These are the words of the Acharyas. And the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, they are speaking for our benefit. So we should understand the urgency of taking Krishna's shelter. And how do we take Krishna's shelter? When we keenly hear Krishna Katha. When there is a proper, sufficient reception of Krishna Katha. Just like we don't, you know, feel satisfied unless and until we have a good amount of prasad. Before coming to Hare Krishna, the conception of prasad we had was a palmful. Prasad matlab, theek hai, thoda sa itna prasad de dijiye. Lekin aap Hare Krishna mein aate hain, to aapko prasad nahi dete, pehle plate dete. Phir plate dheere bharta jata hai. So similarly, we should understand that transformation is not going to come about unless and until there is a keen reception of Krishna Katha. And once we hear Krishna Katha, there has to be meditation. Just hearing is not going to serve the purpose. Whatever we hear, we need to reminisce on that. we need to remember it. We need to meditate on it. So meditating on the beautiful form, beautiful qualities, pastimes of the Supreme Lord, that is when there will be an effect. And then intelligently planning our Krishna conscious future. Not just being a passive hearer of Krishna consciousness. Not just limiting ourselves to just hearing. There has to be an intelligent plan in place. There is a beautiful saying that one who fails to plan, he plans to fail. Right? So yes, after there is an intelligent plan, not keeping other options in mind. That is a condition of Krishna. Sarva dharman parityajya. Wo nahi chalne wala hai. Sunday idhar, Monday udhar, Tuesday udhar, Wednesday udhar. Yes, programs, weekly programs can be experimented like that. But then, you know, apart from Krishna, Krishna may not like it. So yes, not keeping other options in mind. And then finally, like Rukmini Devi, she identified herself as the servant of the Supreme Lord and kept serving him with love. So that is the eternal constitutional position of a living entity. That how we can also one day identify ourselves very solidly as a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become firmly established in the service of the Supreme Lord. So this is a beautiful acronym. I'll just repeat. This acronym is Rukmini. Rukmini, R stands for recognizing our situation in the material world. U stands for understanding the urgency of taking to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not an optional thing. It's not an artificial imposition of the mind. It is something very natural for the soul. Only that it has to be done under proper guidance. Then ki refers to keenly hearing Krishna katha and meditating on Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes. M. I stands for intelligently planning our Krishna conscious future or letting others help us in planning our Krishna conscious future if we may not be so conversant or capable of doing so. And then N refers to not keeping other options in mind. And finally, identifying ourselves as the servant of the Supreme Lord and becoming situated in serving the Supreme Lord with full heart and soul. Thank you all very much. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarakadhish ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.